Welcome to Fort McMurray Matters,
keeping you connected to our community.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome to another edition of Fort McMurray Matters. Good afternoon, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And joining me over the phone is the mayor of the regional municipality of Wood Buffalo, Don Scott. And we also have Fire Chief Jody Butts as well. How are you both doing today?
Good. We're feeling very strong. We made some bold moves, and we stand by them. Jody?
Yeah, really proud of our region, and we can't thank enough for the support from Mayor Scott and the members of council in last night's council session. This is truly about public safety and the safety of our residents.
Mm-hmm. So, we have a few things I want to talk about, and we did have you guys on the show yesterday with your press conference, but we still wanted to have you come on and talk a little bit about your latest decision to refuse transferring 911 calls to AHS. Jody, maybe if you can just speak on it a little briefly. What brought you guys to this point? Obviously, this is council's decision, and this is something that you've said you support, but this really seems like this was the last resort, and you guys officially just did it.
Well, I think, first of all, we need to make sure we understand that we certainly don't take this decision lightly, and we didn't, we didn't think about this overnight. This has been a long time coming. And we've tried to work with AHS in all facets. Certainly, as you know, very publicized in the political arena, trying to advocate in opposition of the consolidation of EMS dispatch. But unfortunately, we're come to the end of the line here. We've been 7 months of advocating, and on January 19th, we were forced to transfer or hand over our EMS dispatch to AHS. But we've been monitoring every one of those EMS calls since that time, and I can say with absolute certainty that this decision is an operational decision, and without any kind of communication or just flat out silence from AHS, we are really concerned to operate in this broken system that AHS has imposed, and that we are concerned with the public safety of our residents.
Mm-hmm. We've been hearing about whether there's any, legal issues with this. I know that we heard from Chief Administrative Officer Jamie Doyle noting that, they're still reviewing this, but because of the health and safety of residents, they recommended to still move forward. I want to kind of side a little bit from legal issues, but maybe just talk about repercussions coming from the province. Are you guys expecting any?
That's in the province's hands. Like I've said repeatedly, I believe there are circumstances where acts of resistance and defiance are justified, and this is one of them. How could Jody or I or any person in this municipality who is capable of doing something look at themselves in the mirror if a resident is not getting the service they should have and there's a further injury? I couldn't accept it, and I'm not going to accept it. So, if the province has a problem with it, like I said, I challenge them to remove me. I issue that challenge if they have a problem with it. I'm very proud of this council for standing up for this decision, and I think we're a unified voice, and it's the right decision. And I stand by it, and I'll continue to stand by it.
I know it's only been a little bit of time. I guess a little bit of time has passed since this decision was made. Have you had any talks with the province or AHS since, or is communication just, done now since you've pretty much made this decision?
No, they haven't communicated with me. I understood they were trying to communicate with some of our comms team about our press conference, but they never communicated. And that's, I got to say, that's not uncommon. We spent 7 months trying to get answers from Alberta Health Services and the Minister of Health, and we sent a letter to the Premier, and they have basically not given us any responses. We have formally notified them of the decision, so that step's been taken, and Jody can speak to the implementation timeline, but, you know, we've effectively told them to go pound sand, and that's the right move to make. We are not going to accept this. We're going to protect our residents, whatever the political cost for me, and I'm like I said, I'm fine with that, and I'll stand by it as a decision that was absolutely necessary.
And Jody, we'll get to implementation in just a second, but Mayor Scott, have you heard from some of the other communities that are also in the middle of this, along with the RMWB, that being Calgary, Red Deer, or Lethbridge? Have they expressed any of their wanting to join or maybe do something on their own? Have you heard from any of those communities?
I'm in regular contact with the mayors of those communities, and what I can say is there is one community that I believe is going to follow suit very quickly, and I don't want to preempt their announcement that they're going to do it, so I would leave that to them, but I believe others are going to follow the stance we've taken.
All right. Well, today is Thursday, so the announcement was a couple days ago. So I'm curious, Jody, are local dispatchers officially now refusing to transfer calls? Is the local emergency center officially taking all 911 emergencies right now?
So, and again, I'll remind you that this is for a matter of public safety, and we're deeply concerned for the safety of our residents. So with that, deems a sense of urgency. As Mayor Scott has said, that we have served notice, and in that notice gives them a 24-hour period of notice. So as of noon today, we will turn off the AHS radios that are in our ambulances. And that's another thing that I want to make very clear, is that this is, although seems like a step backwards, we in the RMWB have been delivering EMS services since 1979. We, all the employees, the paramedics, that staff those ambulances are RMWB employees. All the ambulances are funded by the RMWB, and every infrastructure, pieces of equipment, the mechanics that are working on it are RMWB employees. So this is a very I suppose the risk to public safety is decreased by this move, in the fact that we've been doing this for years. We know the system works better, and the immediate change in the system is that the 911 caller will talk to a dispatcher. That same dispatcher will do the call evaluation, and then within an integrated dispatch room, the other dispatch team will dispatch the resources simultaneously as the information comes in. I'm 100% confident that we will decrease time and get to those patients quicker than what AHS has imposed.
We're going to take our first break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but don't go anywhere, as coming up after the break, we're going to continue our talk with Mayor Don Scott.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio. And if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Mayor Don Scott. And before the break, we also had a chance to hear from Fire Chief Jody Butts as we were talking about EMS dispatch and council's decision to refuse transferring calls to Alberta Health Services Provincial Center. So if you're looking for more information about this, all you have to do is head to the Mix News page. And Mayor Scott, obviously EMS was the main talking point at this week's council meeting, but there were still a few other items I was hoping to talk about. One being, you guys were given an update on temporary flood mitigation for the 6 flood-prone areas as river breakup season is a couple months away. So what's the update on these 6 areas? What can you share with us?
Yeah, what I can say is that the update we got last night is that matters are on track. So the residents are going to see a lot of the region changing over the next several months, especially starting in March. We've got clay burns, we've got tiger dams, we've got a sandbag program. We're obviously instituting our usual emergency preparedness program, and we've got the construction of permanent berms, which are ongoing. In 2021, just remind everybody, we're spending $10 million in the temporary flood mitigation and $44 million in 2021 in permanent flood mitigation. So the work is going on, and we're making progress. And everyone can count on the fact that this council wants to make sure that the residents are safe. It's a major priority. In my own view, this should have been done 20 years ago after the last flood in 1997, or one of the 16 floods before that. But we're at this stage. We're the ones who need to take responsibility and complete the job, and we are committed to doing that. And I think the update we got last night is positive. There's more work to be done, but it's on track, and it's certainly underway.
The temporary flood mitigation, is that covering a so-called 1-in-100-year flood, or is that higher?
Yeah, it's 1-in-200, and that's the new limit that we're shooting towards to make sure that this region is better protected than ever before. Those who have kind of followed these things over the years will realize that the previous efforts were to 1-in-100 years, and that I don't believe that was satisfactory. And this council, and certainly I made the motion myself, so I know about it, increased that 1-in-200-year protection to 1-in-200. So that means that this region should be far more protected. Now, the permanent berms are not going to be done completely. But that work is going to be ongoing, and in the meantime, there has been significant money allocated and a strong effort made towards temporary berms. And we're going to be giving more updates in the weeks ahead, and I know people are extremely concerned about that, and rightfully so, but the work's underway, and I would encourage people to tune into those updates as we have them and we deliver those.
And you've mentioned that Over the last couple of centuries, we've had, I believe, 16 floods. And there could be a few people out there saying, well, we just had a really bad flood last year, a 1 in 100. What are the chances we're going to have another 1 in 100 this year? So why are we spending that money? But I do believe in the history books, we did have at least one instance where there were floods in back-to-back years.
It was actually twice.
Twice.
We had two back-to-back floods in this region, and I don't have the dates in front of me, but one was in the 60s, and one was slightly later than that, I believe. And, you know, this region is flood-prone. This should not be taking people by surprise. People in this region and leadership in this region have had 100 years to get the job done. This is the council that's going to get the job done. We've allocated the money, we have put timelines to it, and if anybody wants to see all that, it's available on our website. Floods are always going to be a challenge for this region, but we're going to do everything we can. This council is extremely committed, and it's probably going to be one of the legacies of this council is to get this job done.
Well, Mayor Scott, I know at this week's council meeting, you guys approved allocating $15 million from the Emerging Issues Reserve to cover voluntary buyouts for those in Tarbingan Court. I know that this area, the buyouts are being offered as there's really no feasible long-term flood mitigation to protect the area compared to some of the other flood-prone areas. I know that you were against this. And I know this is specifically because of the province, and you want them to cover the cost. Is that correct?
Yeah, if anyone heard the update last night, they would understand why I'm opposed to this and why I've been opposed to buyouts. Historically, in Alberta, it's the province that has made sure that buyouts happen, and they have funded the buyouts directly and arranged it. And there's lots of examples of that. People can just Google it. The province, the stepping in these circumstances like floods. Now, I realize that that's not an ideal solution, and that was pointed out to me by Councillor Allen. The residents of Tarbingan Court have waited for a long time for resolution, and I certainly understand that. I just believe the province should be doing more in this region, and that is a great example of more for this region. But nevertheless, it did pass, notwithstanding my opposition. And, you know, it's a decision of council, so I support it. Once a decision is made by council, it's a decision of council, and I'm completely behind it. And we still expect the province, I still expect the province to step in and pay for this money, but it's not conditional upon that. So we allocated the money, and the process can keep moving forward for potential buyouts.
Do you potentially see the province, I know you mentioned that you want the province to step in, the province may avoiding this as maybe a so-called repercussion from the decision around EMS?
You know, it's hard to predict what the province is going to do. The list of grievances I have with the province is fairly lengthy, and I can't imagine that they'll punish this region much more than they already seem to be. It's one of many quarrels that I have, and, you know, we can't seem to move beyond all the quarrels. It's time for the province to step forward and resolve some of these outstanding issues. I think everybody in this region is well aware, but we have supported Alberta year after year after year. The taxes that have flowed out of this region straight into the provincial coffers have supported Albertans. And when we have challenges, you know, the province doesn't seem to be coming up like they should be. In an example like this, in flood mitigation, in making sure that our residents are looked after the way they should be. Our focus is on our people right now, and that's where it should be.
We're going to take our last break here on Fort McMurray Matters, but when we come back, we're going to finish our talk with Mayor Don Scott.
We'll return in a moment to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7. We're back to Fort McMurray Matters. Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.
Welcome back to Fort McMurray Matters. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and if you're just tuning into the show right now, joining me over the phone is Mayor Don Scott. Earlier in the show, we also had Fire Chief Jody Butts talking about the latest decision to refuse transferring medical 911 calls to Alberta Health Services provincial centers. If you're looking for more information about this, all you have to do is head to the Mix News page. And Mayor Scott, before I let you go, we've talked about EMS, flood mitigation, and the other big topic that's always in the news up here, COVID-19. And the province started its plan to ease restrictions this week. Restaurants, bars, and cafes were able to resume in-person service. Gyms were able to start doing one-on-one training sessions. And these are just a couple examples of some of the restrictions that were eased. So I just want to get your thoughts on this. Was this, you know, the right approach by the province? Were you hoping for restrictions to be eased even more, maybe a little less?
The concern I have is that we still have a lot of businesses that are unable to open at all. And the one that comes to mind right off the top, because I know several people who are involved in gyms, and I know that that's good for the health of our residents. I'm just surprised that something can't be done to permit people in those, but with restrictions. There should be some avenue. The one-on-one training that they currently permit is not, I don't consider it viable. You know, very few gyms can operate under that approach. So I am concerned about that. I know that there's others, other businesses that are waiting to get the nod. We are making very good progress. And I think that that's the key thing. I'm just grateful to all the residents who are following all the guidelines. I know it's challenging, but I certainly give them all the credit. We need to protect our first responders, the people at our hospitals, and the way we can do that is by following these guidelines. And let's get this out of this region. We're approximately 60 cases right now. So that's a huge improvement. We were well above 250 at one point. Mm-hmm. So we're taking positive steps, and we need to keep taking it. That's going to help our economy. That's going to get us all back on track. I think we're all craving that. I don't have much of an update to give you on vaccines. AHS gives us very little information. But the information I do have is that it's in progress. I don't know much more than that, but I think we're making some solid progress in this whole issue. Hopefully we can keep this down and keep these variants out of this region.
I know in past interviews we've talked about looking at a regional approach to easing restrictions at a much faster pace. I know that you said that you were in favor of this. We've heard from the province noting that they're concerned that residents and Albertans from other communities may drive to these other locations that are, under less strict orders. Do you really think that, should apply to us? We're 4 hours away from Edmonton. Do you see a lot of people potentially even driving up here just to maybe even go to a gym if gyms are allowed to open?
Thanks for that question. The residents are to be credited for doing their part following the guidelines. This is really what's allowing us to get the case numbers to come down and these restrictions to be eased by the province. I believe it's a real step in the right direction, and I'm hearing from community members and business owners and others that the province should strongly consider a regional approach to how restrictions are eased. Our numbers are very much like they looked like in the fall. So we need to be supporting our local businesses while following the guidelines. And I just want to reinforce, if you're in this community, you need to be supporting your local businesses. They are desperate for that support. So every restaurant in this town, if you have the opportunity to give them business, then please do. We need to make sure that the small businesses here don't just survive. I don't want them just surviving. I want them thriving in this community. And we need to have their backs. They have ours, let's have theirs. I know there have been numerous supports for small business programs announced by the federal and provincial governments, but we need to be doing everything we can, as I said, to sustain these local businesses through this pandemic. Once again, please shop local as much as you can. We need to also protect lives, but we can't forget about livelihoods. We very much appreciate the work of our frontline healthcare workers and other workers, and that's one of the main points I try to make about compliance. We're really looking after them, and we're looking after the economy. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who are counting on compliance, and let's make sure that we do our best to look after all those who are in this region and get these numbers down even further. We're approximately 60 now. We're definitely headed in the right direction, and I'm confident that if we keep this going, we're going to continue that trend.
All right. Well, Mayor Scott, thank you so much for doing this interview. I know you're very busy right now dealing with everything with EMS, but thanks so much for coming on to talk about a few other topics.
Thanks again, Jaron, and thanks for getting the message out about EMS. We're certainly appreciative of it.
That's all the time we have for today on Fort McMurray Matters, but make sure to tune into Mix 103.7 every weekday at noon to hear the interviews that matter to you and your community. Once again, I'm Jaron Vecchio, and this has been Fort McMurray Matters.
That's the end of another edition of Fort McMurray Matters.
Want a copy of this episode or any past episode? Download the podcast at Mix1037FM.com.
Brought to you by Colin Hartigan of Coldwell Banker Fort McMurray, Cooper & Company Law Firm, and Fort McMurray Orthodontics on Mix 103.7.